On the bottom.
We left off yesterday on Yud Chet Amud Bet. We were going through a lot of different agadic statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So now we continue on with him. Yes, we are seven lines up from the bottom of the page. Our last word line is Vamar. So Vamar Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Kobay Sheshmai Bot Divrei Torah Balayla Shu Eno Necharav Shenemar Vlomar Aye Eloha Obsei Noten Zirah Balayla. So how do we know that if there is words of Torah being learned at night, that it'll never be destroyed? So as the pasuk states, so where is God my Maker who gives song in the night? So assuming that you still have the songs at night, you'll never need to, i.e. keep learning at night, you'll never have to have your house being destroyed. There's also parallels, a lot of statements about the importance of increasing learning the Torah as the days get shorter and the nights grow longer, because a lot of it, in pre-modern era, when your functional hours for working in the fields and your day job, were limited to sunlight. So therefore, as the days got shorter and the nights got longer, that would give you more time to learn Torah, and therefore you should make sure to avail yourself of that. Because the reason why it's still saying yeah, at night is because at night is when you're supposed to be learning Torah, because during the day, you're assumed to have a job. So that's why it's particularly at night. So continuing on, same as the Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. Miyom shacharav beit hamikdash dayo leolam sheyishtamesh b'shtei otiyot shemar kol hanashmat halayah hallelujah. So, as once the beit hamikdash was destroyed, you only need to use two words, which is the yud and the hey, for God's name, and that's why the pasuk says kol hanashmat halayah hallelujah. Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar nitkala bavel shenitkalu shcheinah nitkala shamron ibarchu shcheinah. So when Babel was cursed, its neighbors were cursed, but when the Shomron, meaning the northern Israel, was cursed, its neighbors got blessed. Nikala Babel Nikalu Shkaina, Jati Vasa Vasamtia, the Morash, Kipud, Vagme Mai. So when Babel was cursed, such as were around it, and that's why it says, I will make a possession for the wild birds and pools of water, of swamps. So that's meaning that there'll be a lot of wild animals, and the whole area will be swampland, which is not very helpful for anybody. But Nikalu Shomron Itbarachu Shcheinah. But when Shomron was destroyed, it was a blessing for his neighbors. Yitziv V'samti Shomron Li'i Hasadeh L'Mantei Karet. Because the curse of Shomron, it says, therefore I will turn Shomron into a heap of rubble in the field for planting of vines. So which means that Shomron's destroyed, at least their neighbors can, you know, plant vineyards over their former residences. Yeah, very bad for the people of Shomron, but for the neighbors, not so bad. It's a blessing because they get more place for their vineyards. Amar Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Bor A, Shalom Kabinet HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yedat Masar Madam. So Yirmiyah says, the way that God works is not the same as man works. So, for a man, right, it's in order to make sure when he's getting put to death, they make sure to give him a gag, or putting a iron wooden hook into his mouth, in order to make sure that he can't curse the king as he's brought to his death. But the way it works with God sending somebody to death is they don't have time to curse God. It's simply silent. And they have no ability to either. So, Shadamar, Lacha, Dumia, Tehila. As it stated in Tehilim, for you, silence is praise. Lo'od, Elohim, Shemeshabeth, Shadamar, Tehila. Which means that it's a praise. Not only this person not cursing God, they're praising God as they go to their death. Lo'od. And even more, it seems to be that that his death serves not only as a as praise of God, but even serves as if he himself is offering up a korban to God. That's what it says, and you shall be performing a vow, meaning you've brought your korban neder, has been brought now. So similarly, Hainan Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Ma'atev Ovrei Be'emek Abacha Mayan Yishitiu Gam Rachot Yatemora. So here we have a statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, darshaning another pasuk in Tehillim. Okay, so what's the other pasuk in Tehillim? So those who pass through the valley crying, weeping, turn it, so they'll turn the valley where they're crying, will then turn into a freshwater spring, and early rain, right, will cover it in blessing, right? So Moreh being the rain, and then the Tzavik Brachot is being covered in blessing. So now we're going to drive to the puzzle and see which each one refers to and why this is similar to what we had above. Ovrei Elu Bnei Adam Shavrin Al Tzadot Shavosh Baruch Hu. We said Ovrei, people passing through. Those are the Ovrei Veira, who go against what God wants. Emek Shemamikin Lahem Gehenna. And the word Emek is there to say that they're so good, that their wickedness makes Gehenna deeper for themselves. Habacha Bochin Moridid Ma'ot Kwayan Shel Shitin. Means that they are crying, making tears flow like a spring of the foundations, meaning very deep well, which a very deep spring, which flows very strongly. Grabra Chol Yitemoreh, Shemastikin Alehem Adin. So when we say that the early rain is covering over the blessings, so that means that they view the judgment placed on them as being just and correct. But Omrim Lefanav, and that, what are they? And they say in front of God, Rabbona Shalom, Yafet danta, yafet ziketa, yafet chiyafta, yafet tikanta, gehenom l'rashayim gan eden. Sorry, l'rashayim gan eden tzadikim. So they speak to Hashem, saying, "You've judged correctly. You have acquitted properly. You have properly condemned, and it was right of you to have created gehenom for the wicked and gan eden for the righteous." Is this really so? But this is really how things work out, that they'll quietly go about their way and they don't protest. Any Hamar or Rishon ben Lakish or Shem afilo al pichol shel Gehenom einam chozrim b'tshuva. But didn't Rish Lakish say that the wicked people sit by the entrance of Gehenom and they don't even do tshuva? Shem av yasu v'ra'u v'tigrei anashim haushim bi. As it says, they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have sinned, and what does the verse say? Shapashu, those that lonamar does not say that they had sinned. Ela haposhim, rather those who are constantly sinning. Shapushin holchin olam, but they never repent. They're always sinning, even when they're in Gehenna. Lo kasha haposhe Israel haposhe motolam. No, there's a difference. So who are the people who accept God's judgment and then go quietly and then realize that they deserved it? That is the Poshe Israel, those amongst the Jewish people who erred. But Poshe Motolam, but the sinners of the non-Jewish nations, they're the ones who will curse God for all eternity. So that's good that you explained it that way. Except now we've had a problem. Damar Shlakish, Poshe Yisrael, Ein Or Gehenim Shlotet Bahen. Kavachomer Mimizbach HaZahav. So, the problem that Rishlakish said somewhere else, that the sinners of Israel, the heat of Gehenim, the fire of Gehenim, has no power over them. So, and they just learned it from a Kavachomer, a 40-year argument based on the Mizbach HaZahav, the golden altar in the Mishkan and later the Beit Hamikdash. So Mami's Bach Hazahav. Oh no, sorry. This is for the Mizbeach that was constructed originally for the Mishkan. So I'm describing how they did construct based on the construction of the Mizbeach Hazahav and the question of how on earth did it not burn to pieces. So My God, the house, and a lot of Elaka Ove Dinar Zahav, Amad Kamashanim, Lo Shaltabah Or. So just like the Mizbeach HaZahav, which was the golden altar, which was in the, which is rest, which is in the Kodesh of the Mishkan, that it only had a thickness of a dinar coin of gold coating it, which is very thin. Like, so think of roughly thickness of, let's say, a, I guess like a quarter. Right, it's not very thick. And it was able to sustain many years of repeated use for burning of incense and without the wood being burnt or being affected by the heat. Poshei Yisrael, Shemalayim Mitzvot Krimon, but the Jews were filled with mitzvot like a pomegranate. Shemar Kipelach Harmon Rakateach, as it says in Shirim, that your temples are like a split pomegranate behind your veil, right? So meaning that basically your, like, that's the source of the, of Yehez Kriyat of Melech Rimon. So this is that Drash is based off of. Amar Drashim and Lakish, Altiki Rakatech, Ela Rekatech. Don't read this as, you know, your temples. Rather read it as your empty ones. Shafila Rekanin Shabbat Melech Mitzvah Rimon, Alchat Kama Vakam. So meaning even the emptiest of the Jews, right, they're still filled with mitzvah. So that's why they would even so the Jews would not be as the slang we had before, right? So now we're saying why this is necessary, why this leads to contradiction. So El Hadiftiv of Re Hamik Babacha. So what did we said before about the fact those who are in the valley and crying, who are really sinners and are never giving up. So, that's only at that exact moment when they were convicted. But then our forefather Avraham Avinu comes up and raises them and receives them. And therefore they will not be suffering as much. Okay, and now, and then on the other side, bar, except for one type of sin, bar Yisrael Shabbat al Hagoya, Dimashko Orlato, Velo Mavajak Erlay. So the only person this doesn't apply for, is for somebody who had relations with a non-Jewish woman, who the punishment is that his foreskin is drawn, meaning they undo his Brit Milah, which then triggers him Karet. And therefore, Avraham will recognize him, with Avraham being the first one who had a Brit Milah. So therefore, the Suyot of Avraham will not protect. Okay. Matki Bla Rav Kahana, Hashazamar Taposhim to Pashe Vazli. So when this is Taposhim, those are those who have sinned and go on sinning. Ella Meata, Hamotzi, the Hamala, the Mesek, the Mapiko. So then wait. So, if that's really true that they're the sinners that keep on sinning, then what do we mean by that they are, we're saying that God's the one, that God will take us out and God raises us up? Then isn't God the one who's doing that? Rather, what the pasuk meant is that he already has raised them up and brought them out. Here too, the phrase referring to those who had already rebelled. So basically, those who would be subject to unable to being saved, those who kept on sinning afterwards, and therefore the sins never left them. Remember, Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Shlosha Ptachim Yesh L'Gehinnom. So back to our protagonist for these statements. We've got Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar saying there's three entrances to Gehenna. Achad b'midbar, achad b'yam, achad b'Yerushalayim. One way in is through the desert, one way in is through the ocean, one way in is through Yerushalayim. So, b'midbar d'ifti v'yirdu heim v'kol asher lahem chayim shola. So the one in midbar, we learn from Korach and Dan b'Aviram, were swallowed whole, and then they went down, them and all that they had, went down alive to Sheol. Sheol is another word for, term for, you know, towards Gehenna, and, you know, so that's where they were going. So now another, so, Bayam, Dithiv, Mibetan Sheol, Shivati, Shamati, Koli. Okay, and another one comes from Yonah, where he says, we're saying where he's praising where he's praising God for saving him while he was in the stomach of the big fish. As he says, out of the belly of the netherworld, bread of Sheol, I cried out to you, I cried out to you, and you heard my voice. So how about Birushalayim? How about the Birushalayim also has a way there? Dithiv ne'um ha'ashem asher or lo v'tzion tenor lo v'Yerushalayim. So it says the pasuk, fire is in Zion, and the furnace is in Yerushalayim. But Tanya Zvei Yishmael explains this pasuk meaning, Asher Ur Lo B'Tzion Zev Gehenom. So when it says that when the fire that is in Zion, that is Gehenom, but Tanur Lo Yerushalayim Zev Pichashal Gehenom. So the first part of the teaching is that in general about that there is such a place called Gehenom even in Israel, and then how do you know the entrance? That's Tanur Lo Yerushalayim, that's the entrance. Right, so normally, you know, when you're opening up an oven, right, so there's the entryway, and then there's the actual fire is. So the way you get in is through your slime. But two leka. Wait, what do you mean? There's only three entrances? That seems too few. Marion, Amarav Yeshiv and Levi, Vamri la Tana Raba Bar Marion to be the Bay Urbiok and Zakai. So, but didn't we learn that from Rabbi Marion? Or learn this from Rabbi Bar Maron? So actually this should be another entrance, which is there is two date trees in the Begen, you know, in the Gay Ben Hinnom Valley, and they're spot from there. V'zohu shashaninu tzinei harazel kasherot v'zohi bichas l'gehenom. So as it says, the palms of Harbarzel are fit. Sorry. For the palms of right of Har Barzel are fit for the mitzvah of love, and that also happens to be the case of. That's also the place where the entrance to Gehenna is found. So Dilma, how you Yerushalayim? Maybe you know Gehenna Bar Gebeni Noam and Yerushalayim, they literally right next to each other. So maybe David did the same thing. So Amar Yeshub and Levi Sheva Shemot Yeshu Gehenna. There's seven names for Gehenna. Elohim, here are them all. Sheol, Babadon, Uv'er Shachat, Uvor Sha'on, Betit Hayaven, Salmavet, V'erat HaTachti. So whenever you see any of these words used, they're all referring to Gehenna. So now we're going to go through the psukim and places they come up to see why that's what they mean. So Sheol Dikti, Mibet and Sheol, Shivati, Shemati, Koli. This is the one that we mentioned before. Avadon dichtiv hayisu par bakaver chasecha amunotcha bavadon. This one is from Tehillim. So your steadfast love shall be spoken from the grave. Your foolish, your faithfulness and destruction, right? And so there, so since you sinned, then therefore that's why that and you're crying out. So you're crying out from Gehenna. Be'er shachat from the death pit. So, dichtiv kilot azov nafshi lishol lo yitena tachdeich lirot shachat. So, as you've not abandoned my soul to Sheol, and you've not, and you've not given your kindness to see me go down to the pit. So therefore, shachat is parallel to Sheol. So now we've got another one teaching us about another word for Gehenom as it is Be'er Shachat. Uvor Sheol v'tit yaven. How do you know about those two words? So. So this is in also in Tehillim, and it says you brought me up from the gruesome pit and from the miry clay, both of which are referring to you having raised me up, which means that you were somewhere really terrible, i.e. Gehenna. And for Salmavet is from the verse also Tehillim, that they sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, Salmavet, the shadow of death. So that means, you know, where are you in the shadow of death? That's where you're in the Eretz HaTachti, Kumaru. And as far as knowing that Eretz HaTachti is also one, that we learned out from from tradition, right? So, but too late, does that read? Ha'ika Gehenom. Wait, what do you mean? What about the word Gehenom? Like, so like, why do we stop it? Why isn't Gehenom also a name there? And quote another geish amuka, a shekel yodim ba'olis gehinam. So isn't why do you say that there's another place which is if you see the word Gehenna also refers to to Gehenna. So, and what's the etymology of Gehenna? It's a valley that is as deep as the valley of Gay Ben Hinnom, where in which all descend in vain for their wasteful acts. So now we say, so that's another one we should throw in. I don't have anything else, but you got Taftet. What about this is another term, which is, Mana Taftet, if you ki aruch metamol Taftet. As it says, for its hearth is ordained of old, meaning this is like, so, hahu shakol mit patet b'yitzro yipol sham. So, which says in, You're right. It also is another way to say Gehenna, this pasuk from Yeshaya, because you could read tough that mean that anybody who is seduced by their yetzer will fall into there. So that would mean that the word tough that also means Gehenna. So now we're going to talk about Gan Eden. So no more depressing stuff. Some happy things now. Okay, Gan Eden. I'm Rish Lakish. So, where's the entrance to Gan Eden in this world? So, Rish Lakish says, if it's an Eretz Yisrael, it's from Beit Shan. So, that's what the entrance is. So, if you're in Israel, make sure if it's Beit Shan, because it's beautiful. Right? Or, because it'll help you get to Gan Eden. One of the two. V'im ba'aravya. And if you are, but if the entrance is talking about in Arabia, Beit Gerem Pitcho, then it'll be the place called Beit Gerem. The im bin and naharot. So Arabia would be, in Saudi Arabia or in those regions. So I'd be in a place called Beit Yerem. The im bin and naharotu, meaning if it's found somewhere in Bavel, it's Dumas Kenin Pitcho. Then it'll be found in Dumas Kenin. Right? Because this is another place which is very fertile. And so that'd also be a place that would be the entrance to Gan Eden. So Bavel, Abai, Mishtabach, Pere, Demaavar, Yamina, Rav, Mishtabach, Pere, Deharpanaya. So, now the Gemara says that in Bavel, Abai was particularly praised fruits. They're on the bank. They're on the right bank of the Euphrates, whereas Rav would praise those of the Erech Harpanaya. Okay. Now we're finally getting back to our discussion of Erevin again. Okay, so Vene Kimosh Shti, right? And the distance between them is the size of two teams. Shita Kim Titana Lake Shirot Havu Anayadana Dula Havi Mutarot. What do you need to state that they're between like loose and tied? If we say that they are Shirot, that means that they're not untied. Not obvious. Maratim, what would you have thought? Shirot Kain Shirot. When they're tied, I mean, not that they're literally tied, but they're closer as if they are. The measurement isn't just based on if they're not tied, you have to actually tie them when you're doing the measurement. Okay, so achat nichneset v'achat yotzei. Now, for one to fit in, and one to be pulled out. Tana,
Rabbi, just with all this, I got it, and now we're back in here. Could you just recap what we're talking about here?
We're currently talking about the width of a lap for a share photo. So we're back in Pasi Birot, right? So you've got the well in the middle, and you've got these corners on the side. The question is, how big can the gap in the middle here be? Before it becomes too big and makes the whole area unusable again.
So when we're saying about two teams, we're talking about the animals?
The two teams of oxen, yes.
Oxen, okay. And so, that would equal 10 amos?
We'll get to the exact measurements in just a moment.
Okay.
So Asadik Nasa Bachat Yitzit. So when we say what's enough, so when one goes in, one goes out. So Tana Rivka Nechnesa Rivka Yitzit. So you said in a Tzav though that one goes in, one goes out. Tana Rabbanon. So we have another Brayta stating that Kama Roshav Rubashal Parash Tama. So how much is this end to be in the end? So we say that the head and the majority of the body is 2 amma. But Kama of Yashal Parash. How wide is an amma? That's amma Ushne Shlish She amma. And how wide is it? It's an amma and 2/3. Shehenge Esther, which means altogether, it's about 10. Diver Rabbi Meir. So that would mean that it's around 10. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kishloshes Rama, Ucha Arbas Rama. So where Rabbi Yehuda says no, when you do the math, it ends up being 13 or 14. So Now we're gonna try and analyze the statement of how exactly big is the gap between the Yumdin or the Pasin. So how much is the gap you're allowed to have? So Kesser, Esser Havyan. What do you mean like 8, like 10? It is 10. Mishum to buy the sefa kishlosh is right. No, why they say like 10? Because they're saying like 13 or 14. So now they're saying like 10. Kishlosh is right. So we're talking about the gap we have here. What do you mean saying this? It's about 13. Okay. So and let's just scroll back up so we can see what it looks like in terms of with the animals here. Okay. All right. So this is how it looks with the animals. So. Hey, Avion, what do you mean it's like 13? It should be more than that. Mishum debai limit nek arbasra. So why they say like 13? It's like, is it more? Is it 13 or 13? No, it's a parallel language again. Ukar basar, halo havya. What do you mean by 14? You can't have it being 14. That's too much. Amar papa, yuterot al shloshesrei, benar magiot larbasra. Rather, the Mishnah is trying to communicate to you that it is more than 13, but not quite 14. So now we're going to try and figure out right, so the question is how would that work out? So that would be based on, remember we said it was 1 2/3. So you either have 1 2/3 times 6, which will give you precisely 10, or you have one right? So remember we had discussion about the how many this picture. Why does this picture have the the 4? Why does it have 8 as opposed to 6? Because this picture is according to right, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's 4, so that's why, and so therefore you end up getting 13 1/3, which is what you get when you do 1 2/3 times 8. And that is, they know to do the math, they're recording why is Lashon of the bright the way it is, and they're explaining why Lashon is what it is.
Rabbi, each animal is 1 2/3 amos, is that what we're saying?
Correct. That's what the bright just stated, so that's what we are operating with. And now we are, so now we're trying to figure out how we can put together that measurement. So we have this braita, we have our Mishnah. So trying to combine the two to figure out to get exactly how much it is and why this other braita doesn't really fit with our exact measurement that it should be. So now we've explained it that it was for parallel language, which is why it's imprecise. Right, you're right. It could have said 13 1/3. It just did it because it was just trying to make the whole thing, flow better. And a lot of times, and also there to set us, Brechtas Rishas, that they were also formulated in a way that would make it easier to remember. So it's all important that you do it in such a fashion that you can actually remember it properly. So that's why special parallel language is a very big thing, because it's much easier to remember, let's say, remember things in rhyme or in same number of words or in structure than it is to remember simply a list with no, connecting themes. Okay, so Amar Papa, Nibor Shimona Dukule Amlo Pligi Lobi and Amchutu. So now we're going back to saying the maximal width and how this works. So remember, the initial there's a question of, do you need to have posts in the middle if you have boards in the middle if it's too wide? So Papa says that if the well is only 8, right, the air is only 8. Why? Then you don't even need to have any posts in the middle. The Borshim is made a claim of legal to be interesting. Once the pit is the well, the well or the cistern is 12, then you do, right? So again, looking at the diagrams, right? So, okay, whether you need or don't need, so it depends on the size of it. Okay, so now let's continue on and see if there's more why. Right, so what are we arguing about then? If everybody agrees 8 on 12, so where's the argument of the measure talking about? Well, then you have or don't need pasin mishmona ba'ad shemesh, right? So from 8 to 12, amo. The remeir bein amshutin, the Rabbi Yehuda lo bein amshutin. The remeir said that you would need posts, and Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need posts. The Rav Papa Mike Mashmalan Tanina. Wait, so what is that? Why are we saying this as a question? Don't we know this from a braita where we just saw that there's, one says 10 is the maximal gap and one says 13 1/3. So we know why they say what they say. It's because each of them have a different maximal amount based on the number of oxen they can fit through. So what are you talking about? Why are you, why, what is this statement teaching us? We knew this already. So why does he say this? Rapapa Brita Loshmielai, but Kamash Milan Gabrita. Right, you're right. Rapapa didn't hear this Brita, so he taught us his own, which ended up being as was taught in the Brita. So then he hadn't known this particular Brita, but he had come to the same conclusion as the Brita through his understanding of the Tosefta and the Mishnah. Okay. Now, Aris Yoter, Bachel Tzitzat, Chaser, Sheyavsha, Siman. Okay, so now we're going, now this is another mnemonic. So, again, so what those words mean, we will see in just a moment. So, Ba'amine Abaye Me Rabba. So now Abaye asked Rabba, Ha'aris B'diyum Din Kishir P'shutin, L'Rameir Ma'u. What happens if you made the corners as long as the posts? What would Rabbi Meir say? All right, so that would mean that you keep here. It's really about the corner piece. What happens if we lengthen the more so that this is less, ends up being less than 10? So this is dagger number 12. What would it be then? So we already know the answer to that one, because it says that if something is too big, you simply add more pasin. So if you made the diumdin too long, it should be fine. Myla marek v'diumdin. Lo, demapish v'avid shutin. So, does it not mean, right, so shouldn't you imply for that you can have more posts, then who cares if the post is separated from the corners or not? So no, Abaye would say, you can add as many posts as you want, but as in the corners aren't, you can't actively make the corners longer. Ihachi. Hai Lvaj Rapasin. Ad Shiar Rapasin Mibayale. So then why would you say Lvaj Shiar Rapasin? Is saying that if he provided created the board, he should have said that increases the number of boards, not that increases the boards. Right? So basically the first language that it says implies that you could possibly lengthen the boards, not just increase the number. So shouldn't it have been more precise in the language? Tani Aji Arba Pasin. Right? Or say that, so then you're right. Then Abaye said, you're right. Then it really should have stated you should increase the number of boards, not that you should make them wider. Ikida Amri, Amri Tani Tu Alba Vach, Arba Pasin. Another option is how to Bahadur Abaye. What was the question? That, so basically, so Rabba says, should you learn from Vajra Rabbi Pasin? My love to Mabif Avish Shutin, does that mean that you simply made the corner posts longer? Load Arith Bajimdin. So now we have the reverse side where Rabba's on the opposite of the argument. Now where Rabba says you increase number of boards, and then Abaye says, no, all you need to do is extend the double, like the corner posts. And that'll also give us your answer. So I said this too was a reasonable argument in both directions, as it stated that as the mission says, Lavaj Rebasin provided increases the upright boards. So therefore, you can extend the width of the board themselves. So and then we conclude that you can make the widths of the boards larger as well, and that should work.
Rabbi, maybe I've missed something. And actually my phone rang and I had to answer it so that I didn't wake the family up. Is there an issue as to how we close that 10 so it's smaller than 10? Is that the argument?
Correct. The question are we allowed to shrink the gap by making the the corner post shorter? Right? Or do we have to do we have to start adding all these little posts?
Why would there be a thought that either way wouldn't be acceptable as long as you make it less than 10.
So it's based on the lashon of the Mishnah. So depending on how you read it, it could be either saying you increase the size of the walls or increase the number of the posts.
So we're not looking at the goal; we're looking at the method.
Right. The question is the only way that you can solve it by, as long as the majority of more area is covered, or is it that you need that the only way it's kind of like we had by a Mavoy, where you can only solve it by left gate court sort of path and by building larger walls to make it worse. So here too, right, we're making it possible, similar argument that you can only fix it via posts, not simply by making the sides larger.
Right, and we're also focusing on fixing as opposed to how it started. So in other words, if you had a structure when you first built it that had these corners extending, is that still the same issue, or is it just you have this and now how do you repair it? Does that
matter? I believe it's both. It would be both. As in, the question is the status that currently is, if the gap isn't 10 when we're looking at it to begin with, there's no problem, but there could be ways that the situation has changed that it could be a start, how should I make it versus a, oh, now it's too big, how do I fix the problem? It could be both.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so now back to the question of the length. Bye, Mine, Abai, Miraba. Yotir Mishoshes Rai, Ama, Oshlish, Rabbi Yehuda, Mao. So now we say when it starts in a third or more, so what do you do? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Shutin Aved, does he say you should be adding boards? Or does he say, Obadim Demarius? Or do you make the corner posts wider? Which one is it? Some are light, to the Dua. So Rabbi said, we just learned this from Breita. Kama Hank Ravin, Kedei Rosha, Rabbi Shalpara. How close can they be together according to the head and the width of a cow? How far can they be from each other? Afilu Kor, Bafilu Korayan. So the post can be as close as the head of the majority of the cow, and they can be as far away as, meaning they can be extended to even enclosing a core or a Korayan. Right, so meaning that you could fill it in as much as assuming you're not the gaps never too large, and between them there's no limit to the size of your pasta dira. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beis HaTaim Gutar Yotir Beis HaTaim Aser. Rabbi Yehuda says no, there's a limit on the maximum size you can make your pasta dira. He says you have until Beis HaTaim, and that's your limit. So Amar Lo Rabbi Yehuda, said to Rabbi Yehuda. Wait, why are you limiting our case here? Don't you agree that in the case of a pen, a stable, a backyard, or a courtyard, that even if it can be either 5 core or 10 core, Amarlan Zomachitza Vilapasta. He's like, correct, I agree there. There we're talking about walls. And here we're talking about the pasta biro, the boards for the well. They're not the same story. They're different. They work differently. So, and if he thought that you could extend the walls and not start doing the shutin, then he should have said that they're both sure to be walls. So, therefore, that would imply that he doesn't think you're allowed to extend the walls. How could come? Neither meant to say. Zo tar mechitza la u for tzotei abaser. Brother Mendes says as follows: that when we say mechitza, we're not talking about the walls themselves; we're talking about the ability of the maximum size of the gap. So the maximum size of the gap for a wall is 10. The maximum size of the gap for Pasi Birot is different, and for that it is 10. So
I didn't get that, Rabbi.
It is 13.
Oh, so the gap for the Pasi Birot is 13, and for a wall is 10, so it's 3 almost greater?
Yes.
That's according to everybody, or just Rabbi Yehuda?
Just Rabbi Yehuda. According to Remeir, it would be they're both 10. So, by mine abaye miraba. Tell him it's locket arba asar mitoch arba nidon mishum yumad on nidon mishum or in nidon mishum yumad. So, if you have a mound that is has a height of 10 with is there is up 10 within an area of 4 amot, does it? Well, can we count that as our yumad or not? So it's for what that looks like. So that's this guy right here. Let's say, can we cut it? Is the question. Rabbi Shmuel ben Oshel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Haita Sham Evan Agula, Roan Kol Sheilu Techakek Techalek. So now saying, let's say we had a round stone in the shape of a pillar. So that would mean that you cut it out and right, as seen here in diagram 15. And then as long as you have enough to make a duma, like if you had cut it out, it would be the right size. That's good enough. So very convenient if you happen to have a lot of columns lying around. Okay, but Mike, you're looking. So what's the argument between them then? So Mar Savar Khadroin Amrinan, the Trey Roin Amrinan, Mar Savar, Trey Roin Namimrinan. So the question is, do we allow you to cut into it on one side or on both sides? So, meaning, or do we allow you to? Right, basically, are we only allowed to cut out? Let's say, if we had a square post, cut out one side, or are we allowed to cut out on both sides to fully chisel out the juma that we want? So that's the debate there. So then Abai asked Rabba, Chitzat Akanim Kane Pachot Mishlosha Nidu Mishum Jumar Ola. So then Abai asked Rabba, if you have a barrier made of reeds and each reed is less than 300 across the next, is that considered, can you call this to be a Jumar or not? All right, so if we make corn made up of reeds, is that good? So Amarlai Tanitua, we have this said in another Brayta, Hayasham Ilan or Gader, or Chitzat Kanim, Nidom Mishum Duma. My love, Kanakana, Pachma Shosha. So if we allow for a tree, a fence, or for a reed barrier, it works for Duma. So what's there between that and a, usually put in post one reed at a time. So hello, Gurna Tadikani. Now maybe when it says that other right, someone says guderiata dikni. It means a thicket of reeds. It's thicker, not just a simply post, but it means a lot of them. But then it's like, wait, but if that was the case, that'd have been the same as the tree, if there's just really that dense and that many reeds. Alamai kana kana. Rather, what does it mean to say? Kana kana poko mishlosha hainu gader. If you say that there's posts all evenly spaced, and it's not the same thing that we have as a fence. Elamai eat lechol meimar trei gav negadar. So you're going to say that we mentioned gedar twice in the same, right? Hakanami trei gav neilan. So no, the answer is that either way, it's going to be either two fences or two trees. So therefore, it's just fine stating both. Iki de amri gudiyata dekni dekani kam vayalei. So, or you could have stated that regarding what we said before about. The thicket of reeds. So guduriata nikinima. What do you mean by when we say what's give that question a different angle? What do you say about a thicket of reeds? Amarlay tinitua hayasham gedari lan okitakani nidomishim duma. So my love guduriata dikani. So now the question is: so now we're saying that the original case the brides are referring to when you stuck in the reeds one at a time. So now we're asking what about the case of from the thicket? So lo, so would that work? Lo, kana mishlosha. No, maybe the bright is referring to the case of Mary of Reeds for less than three apart. You have to hanu gedar. That's the same thing as if we had a fence. Velamai gudriata dekani hanu ilan. Then when you say that again, then we have the problem that now our gudriata of kanim should be the same thing as a tree. Elamai idlo chok meimar trei gavni ilan. You're going to say twice that the tree comes with twice the brightza. Hakanami trei gavni gedar. So you're right, and then we say that it's either two trees or two fences. So either way, the bright is still fine, and that's how we conclude in the end. Okay, so that is the picture over here. If you'd like, okay, so now just to quickly summarize, we went through today. We went through some more statements of Rabbi Yirmiyah talking about Gehenom. And how we know the different place for Gehenna, as well as different things about entrances to Gan Eden. And we returned to our discussion about class B road, about the maximal width, whether it be 10 amot or be 13 or 30 amot. We spoke about the question of how wide the gaps can be in between them, and at what point you start adding in boards to fill the gaps, as well as we started discussing is for what it qualifies for the post based on different materials, as well as if they're not finished materials and the raw materials, can you cut them out and view them as such or not? Since later this evening will be Shabbos, so everybody will be doing the next daf on their own. And we will be continuing on Chaf Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom, where it says, Amar B'Yitzchak, Lohutru, Pasi B'Rod, El Ola, Le Ola Regalim. So we're going to continue the three lines at the bottom of Chaf Amud Bet. Okay, so does that sound good to everybody? Let me continue from there next time.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Good Shabbos.
Thank you.
Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Rabbi, quick question?
Sure.
Always.
Yeah. The last part, I'm just trying to grapple with. I just found it very, very difficult too. So what we're basically saying is that we're asking whether we could apply the concept of roin to take a tree and imagine as if it is dumyon.
Yes.
So if it has the what?
Yes.
So, and I just didn't get what was the difference when you said whether you can use two sides or one sides.
So let me scroll up. So I mean, when we say row in, does it mean, are we only allowing you to cut out, let's say if you have a square, a cube, right? So you've got a cube like shape number 14. So we only allow you to cut out one side. So here,
what do you mean one side, I see two sides here.
This is cutting out one side. But if it's a circle, you're cutting out two sides, right? You're cutting out, you know, on the outside and on the inside in order for it to be the right structure.
Okay.
And that's the question, as in how much do we allow you, like, freedom of viewing, of turning the item from what it is to what we want it to be? So we only say, if it's partially rounded and partially square, then you can square it off. Or do we say that as long as we know it's in this giant, this larger structure, there is a square, there is the L shape hidden in there, that's all that matters.
So that would apply to a tree, that a tree is more round. So can we use a tree? That would allow us to use a tree if we said that you could do two sides, right?
I guess. Correct. If you say you can use one side, then the tree would be a problem.
Knocks the tree out, but what would it allow? What case would it allow just one side when you're using roin?
If you only allow one side, that basically only allows you to use a. Means you have to have a right angle on one half of it, was what you'd be required in the right place.
One half of the tree, and then you'd have to have something else to fill it in.
Yes. If you say only rowan is only for cutting out of the square, so that would mean that it's a very limited application. Only in the 14. But let's say for the tree or for a column or for any other regular shape, let's say the pile of dirt, so that, then it wouldn't work.
Ah, beautiful. So, and we hold that you can use a tree, so we say that you could use two sides for roin?
Yes.
For dunyan. Okay, I think so. Thank you.
My pleasure. Excellent questions.
Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
You as well. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos again.